Welcome to the Holy Church of God's Global Outreach Center. We pray that this gospel message will reach its mark into the hearts of the hearers, glorify God, lift up Jesus, and save the lost, that it will comfort the afflicted and afflict the comfortable and fully furnish us with a heart for God.
But that's how he had to do it, because God was dealing with him according to his life and the issues in his life. Isn't it great to know that God's going to answer your prayer according to your personal need and your personal issues for your eternal good and your immediate need? God is a great and glorious God. That's why I read a testimony. I say, that could happen to me. On the other hand, it may be an entire different way that he leads me. But he's going to answer me. And he's going to answer me out of love for Robert A. Venable. I'm not just one of these drones in his kingdom. Hallelujah. Amen? Amen? I'm a unique, I'm an individual. Ain't nobody got a fingerprint like mine. Praise God. Nobody in the universe, nobody ever had one like mine, and no one after me will ever have one like mine. Praise God. Isn't that incredible? God said ain't no two going to be alike. No two are alike. As David said, you are fearfully and wonderfully made, saith the Lord. When I created thee for myself. I created thee for my love and for my salvation. Yea, I created thee to be transformed and made into my own image, saith the Lord. I created thee for fellowship. I created thee, yea, for glory. Yea, I created thee and called thee into my presence, saith God. Yea, come into my presence. Walk in my presence. Live in my presence. Rejoice in my presence. And rejoice in this day, for this is the day the Lord has made, saith the Spirit of God. Hallelujah. Amen and amen. What a way to receive an offering today. Hallelujah. I'm watching God just take whatever's touched anybody's life and turn it into a testimony. Amen. Whether it be Johnny Erickson, who is one of the most powerful, uplifting, encouraging, instructive ministries that you will ever find. Amen. And I'm telling you something. I take my hat off to a woman that went on and married a handsome husband. Paraplegic, that married a handsome husband, amen, had wonderful children, has a tremendous ministry. Paraplegic. And I see people that's got two arms that work, two legs that work, two eyes that see, amen, but they're crippled on the inside and can't do anything for God because they can't see the good. Amen. Something happened in their past that holds them back. Something's happened in the peripheral of their life that's getting them down. And they miss all of these opportunities to joyfully and productively serve Jesus Christ. And if we could just get the people healed within, can you say, man? I'm telling you, your healing within is far more important than your healing without. Because there's people that don't have the without, but they got it within. And they're going on and living life to the fullest. And enjoying the journey. But there are people that are sitting in church with all their members and faculties. People can't smile. I know you have down days. I know you have bad days. But today you had a smile for the Lord. Can you say amen? You know the devil don't like it when people smile. Amen. He doesn't like it when they have a little bit of a joy of knowing Jesus as their personal Savior. It's bad advertisement. He wants the church to look as sad and as stuffy and as beat down and depressed and as judgmental and critical as he possibly can get them to look. He wants that image to come across. Jesus wants to change the image this morning. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. That's good preaching if I am doing it. Let's receive this offering. Let's do the work of the kingdom. Hallelujah. Let's show and tell other people about Jesus Christ. Brother, you can receive the offering. Hallelujah. Mini sermon, mighty offering. Everybody say mini sermon, but mighty offering. Hallelujah. Amen. I expect God to do wonderful things. He's astounded me throughout all of the years. While you're giving, will you turn with me in the scripture to Mark chapter 11, verses 1 through 9. Actually, 1 through 10. And we're going to read this beginning of the week, scripture concerning the beginning of the week that changed the world. Everybody say the week that changed the world. And we're going to talk about Hosanna in the highest, celebrating the God who saves. Everybody again, say it with me. Celebrating the God who saves. I'll give you a little insight into the meaning of Holy Week. One writer says of this week, about 2,000 years ago, an event occurred in the Middle East that changed the world permanently. We will never be the same again. In fact, we date our calendars by this event. Every time you write a date, you're using the death and resurrection of Christ as the focal point, A.D., B.C. History was split by one event. Everybody say, the week that changed the world. What's so important about what we now call Holy Week? What's the big deal about it? Why are the events of that first Holy Week and Easter often on the cover of major national news magazines? Why is Jesus still on the cover over 2,000 years later? Everybody say, a week that changed the world. The events that happened on that Holy Week occurred in a dramatic succession of events, beginning with what we're going to celebrate today, his triumphal entry on Palm Sunday into Jerusalem. Then there was the Last Supper with his disciples. That happened on Thursday. They call it Maundy Thursday, some church organizations. So this Thursday night, remember, this is when Jesus met with his disciples. It's called the Last Supper. It is where communion began. It was during the celebration of the Passover meal. The trial of Jesus late that very same night. Then there was the death of Jesus on Friday. We call it Good Friday. How can something that commemorates a hideous death and a tortured death like this be called good? It was good because of what it accomplished. And it was good because who was laying down his life? Can you say, man, everybody say it was Good Friday. And finally, the resurrection of Jesus on the next Sunday. No wonder they call this Holy Week. Maundy Thursday, Good Friday, amen, resurrection morning, his triumphal entry into Jerusalem. I'm going to read about that. There's several accounts in the Gospels. I'm just going to choose Mark and read out of Mark 11, chapter 11, verse 1 through 10. It said, and when they came nigh unto Jerusalem, unto Bethphage and Bethany at the Mount of Olives, he sendeth forth two of his disciples, and he said unto them, go your way into the village over against you, and as soon as you be entered into it, you shall find a colt tied, whereupon never a man sat. Loose him and bring him. Another account says, tell him that the master has need of him. This is a little donkey, the foal of an ass. And if any man say unto you, why do ye this? Say ye that the Lord hath need of him, and straightway he will send him hither. And they went their way and found the colt tied by the door without in a place where the two ways met, and they loose him. And certain of them that stood there said, what do ye loosening the colt? And they said unto them, even as Jesus has commanded, and they let them go. And they brought the colt to Jesus and cast their garments on him, and he sat upon him. And many spread their garments in the way, and others cut down branches off the trees and strawed them in the way. And they that went before and they that followed cried, saying, Hosanna! Say it with me, church. Hosanna! Hosanna! Blessed is he that comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed be the kingdom of our father David that cometh in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Say that with me again. Hosanna in the highest. In St. Matthew's account, he declares that Jesus did this, specifically the colt part, the riding. It wasn't just a choice born out of, I need a ride this morning. No, this was a fulfillment of distinct, direct, biblical prophecy. Matthew 21, 4 and 5 said, all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophet saying, tell ye, the daughter of Zion, behold, the king cometh unto thee, meek and sitting on a colt, the foal of an ass. Everybody say, fulfilling prophecy. So many things that Jesus did, he said that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophet Isaiah. How many know God does indeed watch over His Word to perform it? Amen. Say it with me. God watches over His Word to perform it. And He's a stickler for it. He said not any part of it is ever going to fail. That's why we can take the Word to heart, because it's true and God brings it to pass. The cried Hosanna to the king who humbled himself to ride on a donkey. The prophet said that he would in Zechariah 9:9. Listen, rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, your king is coming to you. He is just and bringing salvation, lowly and riding on a donkey, a colt, the foal of a donkey. Amen. No wonder Jesus said, go find me a donkey. If I'm going to come into Jerusalem and start this week that changes the world and fulfill this prophecy to Israel, I've got to have, amen, this colt, this foal of an ass to ride upon. So go get me one. Isn't that incredible how God watches over His Word to perform it? There are no accidents in God's plan of salvation. The prophet said that the long-awaited king of Israel would come to His people in humility, riding on a beast of burden. Those laboring under the burden of their own sin recognized Him. They saw their gracious God underneath the humble exterior. They cried out in adoration. 5 days later, another crowd cried out for His blood. Some of them that cheered Him before the week was out would jeer Him. It's incredible how faithful God is and how fickle man is. But isn't it wonderful how grace triumphs over fallen man's sin and iniquity. Amen. If He treated us like we deserved, amen, after the way they treated Him, we would get justice and it would be a terrible judgment. But He didn't, did He? He went on to that cross. He died for us. And He brought God's redemption plan to everyone who would receive it. The first crowd worshiped Jesus. The second mocked Him. The first crowd prayed for forgiveness and salvation. The second demanded punishment and vengeance. Jesus could not have answered the plea of the first crowd without enduring what the second crowd commanded. I want you to understand what happened here. It wasn't the cry, crucify Him, that caused Him to go to the cross. That wasn't the cry that did it. He was destined to go to the cross. He came to go to the cross. You know, the cry that caused Him to go, the cry of the heart, Hosanna. Say it with me, Hosanna. Hosanna is not like hallelujah. It is not just a praise. It was that cry. Hosanna. We don't understand the ancient culture. And we don't understand the word Hosanna. Because it's not on a level with hallelujah. It doesn't sit beside hallelujah as an equal. Hallelujah's praise ye the Lord. Literally, halo. The Old Testament, praise. Lay, ye, Jah, J-A-H, Jah. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Amen. It graduated into hallelujah, praise ye Jah. Say it with me, praise ye Jah. The ancient name for God, that three-letter name, praise ye the Lord, is what it means. And it's the highest expression verbally of praise that can be offered unto God. Everybody say hallelujah. Hallelujah. That's why I want to be known as a hallelujah man. Because I want to give Him whatever is the highest. Amen? Somebody say amen. Amen. In every language in the world, it is pronounced the same. There's no other word for hallelujah. But hallelujah. I'm glad to be Kayla's hallelujah. Amen. I'm glad she knows when someone isn't. I'm unique in her eyes. Saw John Hagee on television and Alice said in response to the sermon, hallelujah. Kayla said, not hallelujah. She knows who hallelujah is, and John Hagee is not hallelujah. He's a lot of different things, but he's not hallelujah. I have that privilege, praise God. Amen. No, he didn't answer. He answered the prayer of Palm Sunday worshipers when he went to the cross. It was not the cry of bloodlust that put Jesus on the cross. is the cry for mercy, for help, for forgiveness, for salvation, for life that we sinners offer to God repeatedly throughout our lives. Hosanna is both a prayer and a praise. Say it with me. Hosanna is both a prayer and a praise. Say it with me again. Hosanna is both a prayer and a praise. What does the word mean? Listen, we use it as a praise expression, much like we would say hallelujah or praise the Lord, but doing so many cause us to miss the underlying meaning. The word is of Hebrew origin, formed from two words. Listen, Yasha and Na. Yasha and Na are the two Hebrew words that have formed Hosanna in the New Testament. The first of these two words is familiar because it stands behind the name of Jesus himself. Yasha. Does it sound familiar to Yeshua? It's just a small step from Yasha to Yeshua, which is the Old Testament for Joshua, but it's Yeshua. The angel who instructed Joseph explained that Mary's baby should save their people from their sins. And his name shall be called Yeshua. Because he will what? Save his people from what? From their sins. Oh my God in heaven. If the church ever quits celebrating salvation and sins forgiven. Amen. Listen, it is not celebrating anything of true import until that foundation is laid. Amen. You don't celebrate the Escalade. You don't celebrate the Lamborghini. By the way, watch it if you drive a Lamborghini. No one did here today. Amen. But the fly-in in Lakeland, someone drove up in a low-slung Lamborghini with a high-energy engine. Amen. And they roared up in a Lamborghini, pulled onto the dry hay that had been put out for parking, and the tailpipes on the Lamborghini caught the grass on fire, and 24 cars burned up in the parking lot. All because somebody showed up in a Lamborghini. Amen. So if anybody comes here, amen, before it rains like it was last week in a Lamborghini, don't let them park out there in the tall grass or we'll be liable for a Lamborghini. And our insurance company would not appreciate that. Can you say amen? They sure can't get it out of me. Amen. Everybody say, can't get it from me neither. Say it with me. Can't get it from me neither. All right. Now we can go past that. We don't celebrate because we drive a Lamborghini. We don't celebrate because my main reason for dancing before the Lord, like Kayla came out to see last Sunday, amen, during a hallelujah chorus song, was not because God healed me of cancer, but because he forgave my sin. Healing me of cancer, this body's going to die someday anyway. I do celebrate healing of my body, but I celebrate more and more consistently and frequently the healing of my soul and my spirit within. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. I'm going to drop this old bone bag one of these days. And when I drop it, I'm going to heaven to live with him forever. And that is cause for celebration. And that's why I say Hosanna in the highest. The word has a variety of possible translations. One is help, liberate, preserve, literally make open, wide, or free. Something about opening the prison doors is captured in this word. It's a cry from prisoners of darkness to be set free. Together, these two words form a prayer. Help, or save now, I pray, or we pray. In the New Testament, Hosanna is only found in relation to this story, the triumphal entry celebrated on Palm Sunday. However, through this Hebrew word, though it may sound strange to our ears, it's well known to Jewish worshipers, having been taken right out of their own worship book. Isn't that incredible? When they heard it, it wasn't strange. It wasn't unusual. Psalm 118, 24 and 25 says, you'll like the first part of this, but you'll hear Hosanna, the essence of Hosanna, in the second part. Actually, through 26. They sang this, by the way, when they went up to the temple. This is the day the Lord has made. We will do what about that? What are we supposed to do about that? We will rejoice and be glad in it. Save now, I beseech thee, O Lord. O Lord, I beseech thee, send prosperity or blessing. Verse 26, blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. We have blessed you out of the house of the Lord. They were rejoicing because God promised a deliverer. God promised salvation. It was noted that this song, it should be noted, this psalm was recited as the procession of worshipers would approach the temple. Quite possibly it was customary for pilgrims to chant this psalm as they came to the temple at Passover time. However, at this time something is different. The worshipers are not merely going through the annual ritual. They are projecting these words toward the one who sits on the donkey. Isn't that incredible? They said, this has got to be the fulfillment that we've been singing about, that we've been longing for. Hallelujah. Amen. You know why they turned against him? Because when they initially saw him, they thought he was going to overturn the Roman Empire's tyranny and occupation of Israel, lead them in a revolt and become the king of Israel. It was that immediate, temporary deliverance they were looking for. When they saw him standing as a lamb dumb before his shearers, totally helpless, amen, before those who held him captive. They didn't understand. And they turned on him. Amen. Are you listening to me? See, looking back on this, we see the significance that they missed. Because we knew why he was going to that cross. Why he was holding his peace. We know it wasn't the cry, crucify him, that caused him to go to the cross. It was the cry, Hosanna. It was the plea for God's help and God's deliverance. The righteous leaders clearly understood what they were doing. So they tried to stop what they thought to be blasphemy. In support of his own identity, the Son of God, the Messiah, Jesus, not only refused to quiet the praise, but added that if they stopped, the stones would cry out. Amen? The Lord must be praised. And Jesus is Lord. Say it with me. The Lord must be praised. And Jesus is Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. Save now, we pray, they chanted loudly. Hosanna. So what they were saying is, save now, we pray. We're oppressed. We're prisoners. We don't have freedom. Save us now, we pray. Hosanna! So they attributed to him at that time saving power until they saw him in the hands of men helpless like a lamb dumb before his shearers. Amen. And then they didn't attribute to him saving power. But let me tell you, that man hanging on that cross has saving power. Hallelujah. Hosanna is a requisite response to a faithful God's loving gift of our Savior. We offer our cries and our pleas in weakness. God answers our cries by setting aside the exercise of His almighty power and assuming the form of a servant and slave. He humbled Himself and became obedient to the demands of justice, demands that demanded we face punishment. He faced our punishment in our place, and by humbling Himself to the death of the cross, He gained the name that is above every name that is named. Everybody say Yeshua. Jesus, Savior. And by humbling Himself, He gained the name that's above every name. In gaining that name, He gained my salvation. And He gained yours. Amen. Listen, it shall come to pass that everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord shall receive the benefit of what He did at Calvary, shall be saved. Isn't that incredible? We praise God by praising Christ in His deepest humiliation. Our faith holds on to that suffering and sees in it the humiliation that brings us salvation and glory. Christ keeps coming to His people today in response to their hosannas. He isn't riding on a donkey, however. His next ride is a white horse of a conquering king. Amen. He's conquered death, hell, and the grave. You'll never see Him on the donkey, the foal of an ass anymore. For God has highly exalted Him. Amen. Hallelujah. In all the splendor and glory of the resurrection, when Christ comes, He answers that cry. Hosanna is the song of the soul set free. We worship God because He is the initiator of saving grace. Everybody say saving grace.
Saving grace.
Hallelujah. Someone asked, what is worship? And answered the question, it's ascribing worth to God. It's not just something we do on Sunday morning. It's actually showing how we value what God has done for us, who He is and what He's done. Where is God's greatest attribute most clearly revealed to the world? St. John writes, herein is love. Not that we loved God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be a propitiation for our sins. Blessed is, say it with me, blessed is He that comes in the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. 1 John 4:10, how did Christ do this? How did He take away God's anger against sinners and establish true peace with God? By humbling Himself to the death of the cross to save us. Herein, we see God's love in clarity, purity, holiness, and love. Amen? There's no doubt about it. You're saved because God loved you enough to send His Son. Amen. And Palm Sunday, over 2,000 years ago, He began the week that would change the world. And it changed your life, changed my world too. Has it changed your world? Hallelujah. Hosanna is the song of the redeemed. When I became a Christian, I used to, think back of the songs we used to sing. Here's one of them. I haven't sung it in years. It just came to me last night. Thank God I am free, free, free from this world of sin. Washed in the blood of Jesus, been born again. Hallelujah, I'm saved, saved, saved by His wonderful grace. I'm so glad that I found out He would bring me out and show me the way. We used to sing that on Sunday morning. Hallelujah. Amen. The song of the redeemed. So many songs can only be sung from a soul that is set free. And if you sing it without that freedom, it's meaningless to God and meaningless to you. But if you're one of those that He has set free, hallelujah, amen. When you sing Hosanna to the King, it's different. Praise God. When they sang Hosanna on Palm Sunday 2,000 years ago, they thought an immediate deliverance from Roman occupation and rule was imminent. They didn't understand why He became like a sheep before His shears dumb and opened not His mouth. Remember when Peter tried to defend Him and Jesus said, if my kingdom were of, my kingdom's not of this world. He said, and Peter, I don't need you. Put up your sword. I could have called a legion of angels. I could have called 10,000 angels. So the cheers became jeers. We understand that His meekness was not weakness. Everybody say His meekness was not weakness. And that the cross was not a symbol of defeat, but rather a symbol of the greatest victory the world has ever known or ever will know. We cry Hosanna in the highest because Jesus took our place as our sacrifice lamb. You know what they call that theologically? The vicarious death of Jesus. Episcopalians, the Anglican Church in England. Have you ever heard a guy with a pastor of an Anglican church called the vicar? The vicar. It means someone who is in Christ's stead, an under-shepherd. Roman Catholicism takes it a step further and says that the Pope is the vicar of Christ in the sense that he is the earthly spokesman for God that God has given direct revelation through. And we, of course, understand that is not the case. No disrespect to anyone except that truth reign. Everybody say, let truth reign. But Jesus did take our place. Comes from the word vicarious, to take place. We have a vice president. If something should happen to our president, there is a man that is the vice president. Vicarious means to take someone's place. Amen. How many understand clearly that He took your place on the cross? He couldn't forgive you unless He took your punishment. He paid the sin debt. The Bible said in 2 Corinthians, amen, God made Him, 2 Corinthians 5:21, God made Him who had no sin to be sin for us. That's vicarious. He took on the debt of our sins and suffered the penalty for it. In the movie, The Last Emperor, a young child anointed as the last emperor of China lives a magical life of luxury with 1,000 eunuch servants at his command. What happens when you do wrong? His brother asked him. When I do wrong, he answered, someone else is punished, the boy emperor replies. To demonstrate, he just picks up a jar and he breaks it on the floor. And then one of his servants is beaten for it. This is the heart of the gospel. We do the wrong, but it's Jesus who is punished. I could see in every face in here when that spoiled brat of a child broke the jar and one of his servants took his punishment. It's not right. Something inside us that said, that's not justice. That's wrong. For the innocent to be punished for the guilty makes us want to take the kid behind the woodshed. See if he wants to break another jar. Well, the woodshed's okay as long as love is there. I couldn't take him because I didn't feel love when I read that. I had to pray about it. Amen? It's exactly what Jesus did for you and me. Amen. We don't get what we deserve, do we? He took it. He didn't take some of it. He took it all. He had to take it all for all of your sin. 99 9/10 is not enough to save you. Took 100%. No one can give 100. Jesus paid it all. Everybody say, Jesus paid it all. John Maxwell shares these startling statistics from some of his research. If 99.9% is good enough, then 2 million documents will be lost by the IRS this year. 99.9% will leave that many. Listen, 22,000 checks will be deducted from the wrong bank account in the next 60 seconds if 99.9% accuracy is good enough. 1,314 telephone calls will be misplaced by telecommunications services every minute. Every minute. 12 babies will be given to the wrong parents every 24 hours if 99.9%. Wow. 20,000 incorrect drug prescriptions will be written in the next 12 months if 99.9% is good enough. Aren't you glad that Jesus paid it all? Aren't you glad that you're not going to be 99.9% sure you're going to heaven? Aren't you glad because He took your place and gave you His righteousness? Amen. That you've got 100%. Hallelujah. Somebody give Him a hand clap. That's worthy of praise today. No one can give Him perfection, but a perfect sacrifice satisfied God's justice. When I think of this, I think of David. Amen. And what he writes about God in Psalm 103, closing in a moment. He says He does not treat us as our sins deserve or repay us according, this is verse 10 through 13. He does not treat us as our sins deserve or repay us according to our iniquities. He does, in other words, He doesn't give us what we deserve. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is His love for those who fear Him. As far as the east is from the west, so far has He removed our transgressions from us. As a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on them that fear Him. If God were to treat us as we deserve, we would get judgment and everlasting punishment. But God does not treat us as we deserve. He allows mercy to triumph over judgment. Isn't that beautiful and wonderful? That mercy has triumphed over judgment. Hosanna to God in the highest. Say it with me. Hosanna to God in the highest. Let's say it again with deep understanding and appreciation. Hosanna! Hosanna to God in the highest. Hallelujah. Blessed is he that comes in the name of the Lord. Amen. Wow. What would we do if it wasn't for what Jesus did. Did I give you a... I didn't. What could we do? How could we survive if 99.9% is not good enough? This was their prayer. Save us, Lord. Save us now, we pray. Hosanna. And the praise part came because they attributed to him who sat upon the donkey the power to do that. Is he the fulfillment of the ancient prophecy? Behold, the King, the delivering King, will come to you riding in meekness. He was the exact picture of that prophecy. And he made it so to fulfill it. Hallelujah. When you say Hosanna, you do it with understanding. You do it with appreciation. You do it with deep gratitude. For your God has come to save you. Hallelujah. 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 Will you stand to your feet today? How many feel a heart of gratitude? Is there something inside of you that's saying, thank you, Lord, for saving me? This is